For years, there were forebodings, but did the powers that be pay enough attention? And then it happened, gradually and suddenly.
We finally really did it. You maniacs! You blew it up!
The why and the wherefore of the destruction continues to be well documented, but the more pressing question now, of course, is... The answer to that existential question is not fully known, but what is known is that Beaver Nation carries on, speaking as one through it all.
Been in trouble, but I'm okay. Been through the ringer, but I'm okay.
We're strong enough to take it. We can make it.
And we have made it, at least one more time, to another edition of the Joe Beaver Show. On 1240 Joe Radio, KEJOAM.com, and 93.7 FM.
Okay, all right. How many want to be honest and say that they were surprised? I was shocked. You know what I was shocked more than
That's
anything?
It's a strong word. It's a strong word to say shocked. But I can tell you are, and you're not alone. You're not alone. But that I wasn't shocked.
I was.
We'll talk about
I
all
was.
Of them.
I was mostly okay. Because it seemed like none of the experts thought Oregon State would have enough to get there.
Well,
that was one reason why I was shocked.
Yeah.
And as I give this to you,
yes, thank you, Doc.
I just highlighted some stuff. As I hand this to
thank you,
it's
Doc.
The breakdown from all of the D1 guys.
I read it. Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, how did you get it? You just asked me for it.
Well, I know. I was in the parking lot waiting, and I sped, you know, Evelyn Wood sped Redden through.
So none of them, except for one guy, I didn't get to all of them, even mentioned Oregon State. Didn't even mention Oregon State. Now, the good news is that the first three, Aaron, Kendall, and one other guy, said there were really no surprises. So at least they weren't saying, well, that was a shocker that Oregon State got the 8th seed. That was the positive.
Right.
The negative was... none of them picked Oregon State to get to the Final Eight, and that's fine.
No, Aaron Fitt did. And
did he?
A couple of others did, too. Yes.
Okay.
8 for Omaha. Fitt has the Beavers and Oregon both going.
I got to relook at that because
yeah,
I just
no, right
I just Evelyn Woods zoomed past
yeah,
it.
And Evelyn Woods sped Redden. Let's see here.
Biggest surprise
8 for
got
Omaha.
Snubbed.
Southern Miss, UC Irvine, Arkansas, Coastal Carolina, Oregon, LSU, Georgia, Oregon State. Anyway.
Well, Aaron is at least as high on the Beavers, but not much else, not a lot of discussion. And I thought the same thing happened yesterday, not only on the first hour, but I watched the second hour.
So did I.
And they didn't hardly discuss them at all.
Yeah, let's discuss now. Let's discuss together today on this gorgeous Tuesday. Hope you all had a great Memorial Day weekend and celebrated not so much as the word celebration, but took time yesterday, I hope, with family. It's a holiday. It was a special day, and hope that you were able to spend the day with family, friends, and getting a day off and taking time to think about what the day is all about. I know that it was a good day for our family. We had a family gathering out in Kings Valley and really enjoyed just being with family. And it was a good holiday, a good day to be off together with family. And so we enjoyed it thoroughly. But I will say that the day got off to a very good start. And I hope some of you will share some of your thoughts today. Mike Parker with John Warren. Thanks for joining on this Tuesday following the Memorial Day weekend. We'd love to hear from you about your own experience of watching the show and some of the emotions, maybe even attendant with it, your thoughts going in. We'll talk about that along the way. If you'd like to join us, 541-497-5356, the Downward Dog phone line and the University Honda text line. And at the moment, we are guestless in the Mid-Valley. We're going to have guests coming up the rest of the week, but today we may have one. I've got a couple of feelers out there, and one may bite, and we'll see if we'll have a guest in the second hour. But we have been pretty guest-heavy of late, and as we come down the stretch of the show, this is our final week of the Joe Beaver Show for the 24-25 season, If you care to join us, we'll have open phones along the way at 541-497-5356. John and I have some thoughts that we'll share. If you want to jump in now, get on hold. We'll jump in and we'll get you before our first break. If you'd care to join to share some of your emotions and thoughts about the show, the selection show itself. There aren't many times in life when I will just share with you, watching the seeds be revealed. And I'm glad they start with one and work their way. One.
Wasn't Vanderbilt. That dramatic?
It was dramatic for me. I mean, it was a moment in time when I see two, and then I see three, and I see through six, and I see we're not there at seven. And so as they discussed whoever seven was, as they were about ready to reveal number eight,
yeah.
And I saw eight, period, Oregon State. I'm just confessing to you, I almost teared up. It's like, oh my gosh, we did it.
Yeah.
We got it. It was one of those, wow. I was so happy for everybody. Happy for the players. Happy for Mitch. Happy for Tumwater, who will join us in a moment. Happy for Beaver Nation. And I will say, shocked is not the right word, but I will say, John, that I was surprised and pleasantly surprised. It's one of those things where the great poet years ago said, surprised by joy, Wordsworth, surprised by joy. And I was in that sort of mode in that moment, I think just almost emotionally caught up in, oh my gosh,
yeah.
The committee
yeah.
did it.
Yeah.
They gave us the eighth seed. I thought there was a good argument. And even Aaron Fitt, who didn't think the Beavers would get it, did
right.
when
right.
we had him on last week. He did say, it'll be very interesting. I could tell that he was all in on the storyline itself. What will the committee do
yeah.
with Oregon State's independent schedule and their road-heavy schedule, but their four losses to Oregon? And so on the show itself, then, you're absolutely right. I feel as though Kyle Peterson and some of the others are just almost flummoxed. They don't know what to make of Oregon State, so they don't talk about it.
No.
The rest of that show was SEC,
yeah.
with the only mention, and I was glad at least Peterson did this,
yeah.
you know, players to watch in the tournament. He said, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Iva Arquette, who we admitted he hasn't seen all year.
Yeah, yeah.
The best shortstop in the country and a top five pick. He has not seen, but that's not really Peterson's fault. It's sort of just the world the Beavers have lived in.
Yeah, the first seven I wasn't expecting Oregon State because
yeah,
that
I wasn't
the discussion. So I knew, okay, fine, boom, 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 Texas, Georgia, whatever, Georgia number seven. And that last spot, and it popped up. I nearly fell out of the chair.
I know. I was so happy.
I couldn't believe it for good reason,
yeah.
but also because of the last week's Joe Beaver show, we were heavy on that topic of will they get in,
yeah.
will they not? Aaron Fitt, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
No, probably not. Mm-hmm. And then there they were. Whoa! That
I
came
agree.
Out of nowhere. And so that was cool. Then the rest of the show, nothing really
nothing,
on Oregon State. And Kyle Peterson should know better.
He's should.
Done Oregon State
He's
all the way
Stanford
back to
alum.
The beginning.
No, he should know better, and they should have done better by the Beavers and should have taken a little time, in
yes.
my opinion, to say, hey, we need to pause for a moment and say, SEC.
Yeah.
And look at this, a D1 independent. Wow, that's an amazing college baseball story that they essentially ignored for 2 hours.
Yeah, and to me, winning three national championships
yes.
and doing what the Beavers have done, that story has not fossilized yet. In other words,
right.
they could say every year, oh my goodness, look at Oregon State. Here they are again, the
right.
blue blood program that no one would have thought of.
Right.
Guys, remember back in 06?
Yeah.
They could
yeah.
easily do that storyline combined with the relegation,
yep.
the fact that they're independent. They had to scramble to put their own schedule together to make it strong enough to be an eight national seed. I mean, so much storyline was lost on those
I
guys.
Agree.
And in the second hour-long show, they could have done that as
and they
well.
They didn't. They didn't touch it. Really.
No.
You know, and the people, the coaches and people they talked to, that's fine. I'm just saying on a national level, I think Oregon State has sort of befuddled the nation for decades.
And the only thing that I could think of
more
that
than
would,
ever this year.
Right, that
yeah.
would force them to talk about the Beavers is to win. I mean, every time they have to, they're, you know, whittle it down, get into a super. Well, you got to talk about us now.
So I think if you would have taken Rune, and they're all good broadcasters
sure.
in what they do.
Yeah.
Chris Burke, I don't know much about him, but, you know, he sat there looking, you know, handsome and good in his suit and his tennis shoes and slacks and all that.
couple of them weren't wearing socks.
I don't think he mentioned Oregon State one time.
Yeah.
Rooney and Peterson and whoever the host was, I don't know who that guy is. He's good.
Right, right.
But Oregon State came up so infrequently over two hours.
I was surprised by that.
That if you would have asked all four of those guys, who do you even Peterson said he thought the eight seed should have gone to Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, that's what the guys were saying. Yeah. That was the little bit of talk
right there.
Well, I thought Coastal Carolina would get that eight seed. Well, we didn't know. I will agree with you, though. I'll say, though, that a couple of guys here on D1 Baseball, Eric Sorensen,
right.
Kendall. I don't know about Kendall, but I know Aaron
Kendall Fitt, doesn't have the Beavers going.
They have the Beavers and Oregon in the final eight.
This is good stuff. D1Baseball.com, which we will we'll talk about as we go today and during the week. But one thing that I did note was, and it's interesting that I see this, they asked each of the eight staff writers for D1 Baseball, led by Aaron Fitt, to answer the question, toughest regional, softest regional for a one seed, biggest surprise, who got snubbed, who's the national champion, Omaha sleeper. Aaron Fitt has UC Irvine as an Omaha sleeper.
Yeah.
Kendall Rogers, toughest regional. But I was a little surprised when I saw Joe Healy says the toughest regional is Hattiesburg, given that Southern Miss is number 16. He goes on to say softest regional for a one seed, and not talking about the one seeds in each regional.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, Healy says, I think the committee did an excellent job of balancing the regionals, but Oregon State has a chance to march through its regional. And that, okay, so that's interesting. But the next one, Eric Sorensen, the very next writer, toughest regional, Oregon State.
Yeah.
So again, the spectrum, the wide range of opinion on these matters, that alone, there's two writers for a baseball authority, D1 Baseball. One writer says softest regional, Oregon State.
Yeah.
Toughest regional, the next writer, Eric Sorensen, Oregon State.
Yeah, it's
and he's
crazy.
But he picks, even though he says that, his eight for Omaha is, he includes Oregon State. He
sure
thinks it's a tough regional, but he has Oregon State and Oregon both going
both getting
to the
through
College World Series.
The only consistent thing we can say, the only thing that's easily what we could get from all of that is that the SEC dominates, the SEC is everything,
right,
and all the regionals, save for the three, are down in the Southwestern Conference. Eight regionals out of the SEC, and thank God that UCLA managed to get one for us out here, the three regionals. Has it ever happened? I have to ask you this because I didn't know this morning, and I was thinking out loud, if it's ever happened that Eugene and Corvallis has ever hosted. At the same time.
You know, I'd have to double check. The great B.G. Gould was asking me that same question. I'd have to go back. I think Oregon has hosted in years that the Beavers have, I think, but I'd have to check on it. I don't know that for sure.
I wasn't sure either.
If so, it's only the second time, and it may be the first time they both hosted.
Yeah.
This I know not. But if you do, feel free to jump in. I'm sure some of you researched that out. When the nine seed came up, I almost expected it to be Oregon.
Yeah.
Now it's Florida State, so we'll get Joe Freeman of the Oregonian, who covers the Beavers, a Florida State alum and fan.
I thought of him the first time I saw
that. So we'll get Joe on to see what, if it comes, we'll talk to him about his overall feel. But as we go to calls and emails or texts along the way today, 541-497-5356. What are your thoughts about the why and the wherefore of the Beavers getting the eighth seed? I've had a sense in the people, John, that you and I rub shoulders with, our little circle of life in the Mid-Valley and the people we rub shoulders with and talk to, almost everyone was dubious about the Beavers getting an eighth seed. You used the word shock, Doug Blair, surprised this morning as you guys talked about it. That's the sense I got from a lot of people going in. None of us were particularly sanguine about getting one of those eight national seeds. Were we? Were you? Not that we didn't believe the Beavers had done enough to warrant it. We thought that. But I guess our history with committees, where we are out here, they didn't quite know what to do with the weird season we had as an independent.
Yeah,
that somehow I give the committee a great deal of credit for kind of not holding the four that they did lose. And I know if I were down the road, if we were in a reverse position today and they got it and we'd beaten them four straight times, we'd probably be on the housetops and the mountaintops. Hey, we beat you four straight times.
Yeah.
I get that. But the committee guy, when answering that, that was the one question about Oregon State.
Yeah.
They gave them the 8th seed. Oregon beat them 4 straight times. Why? And the head of the committee gave a pretty good answer. He didn't dwell a lot on Oregon State's heavy road schedule, but he talked a little bit about that, and he also said, and we don't, we look at a full body
right,
of
work. He said
work.
It's not necessarily one team versus the
right,
other.
Right, it's not one. How did Team A do against Team C? And I look at Oregon. Now, Oregon can scream, and I'm sure they will, and their fan base, whatever, will, and I get it. But against quad four teams, they were 8-4. They lost 4 games to quad four teams, whereas I think the Beavers, if I were 16-0 against quad four teams, meaning that, yes, the Beavers had some tough losses in there to a good Oregon team, and they're good. But Oregon had some mysterious losses that in the end yeah. keep them perhaps from getting that, whereas the Beavers took care of business in the big picture of a long season. So I'm pleasantly, delightfully surprised they got in as an 8 seed. Doesn't guarantee a thing. It's a I think it's a tough feel. I think there's good teams coming here. And if Florida State wins there, they'd come here, and they're really good. So it's a tough path to Omaha, but they get a chance to be at home through a couple of weekends if they take care of business. I love it.
Yeah.
And I was touched emotionally by seeing 8, period, Oregon State. It was one of the few times in my life that a television screen gave me joyous, surprising good news.
It was so great to have it be the last one.
Yes.
The way that they revealed them,
right.
Boom, boom, boom. They were very consistent, too, so there was no dragging it out. And then it's like, it's got to be, oh, my God.
There it is, I know.
I can't believe
it. It was sweet. I immediately was texting friends and coaches and just saying, hey, way to go. You guys earned it. You fought. Yeah, there was no guarantee.
Yeah.
No guarantee. In fact, I think we were all, I think most of us were pleasantly surprised. So if you want to talk about the machinations of the committee, the deliberations of the committee, what the committee hath wrought, feel free to jump in. We're going to get to Tumwater right now. And we'd love to hear from you along the way, how you took the show in, what you think it came down to. How surprised were you? Would you join John in using the word shocked? I'm shocked, shocked to see that gambling is going on in here. I mean, were you that kind of Claude Rains shocked? Were you genuinely shocked, pleasantly surprised, or expecting it all the way? 541-497-5356. Let's get to today first in our final week of shows for the year. It's been a fun year again visiting with Dave and so many of you, but it's nice to have you on first out of the gate today, Dave and Tumwater. Welcome to the Joe Beaver Show.
Thank you, guys. Good to talk to you both again. I guess on that spectrum, Mike, you'd have to put me down as kind of on the pleasantly surprised category. I think I had the dawning realization in the run-up to this final selection show here is that road wins count for more than home wins. Mm-hmm. I think I understand the logic of that. I'm not one of these geeks that gets heavily into Ken Pom and all the RPI, but that was increasingly an awareness of mine, and on that scale, oddly enough, as much as we have all from time to time bemoaned the heavy road schedule, in a way it turned out advantageous for the program. And so once I realized that the wins on the road merited, I became more and more confident that maybe we would come out with a top seed. Top 8 seed. Now, from my vantage point, again, I repeat this endlessly, and so I apologize for belaboring the point. But again, I look at things like the seeds and the matchups purely from a fan perspective. And I looked at all 16, and I don't see a more interesting array of school that any one of the 16 first-round sites is hosting. I don't see a group more interesting than the one that's coming to Corvallis, the University of Southern California, Texas Christian from Texas, our new friends, likely to be new friends, St. Mary's. That's a very attractive lab. The North Carolina regional, that looks interesting. Georgia's regional, you got Duke, Oklahoma State, Tennessee with, Clemson with, West Virginia and Kentucky. There's some other good regionals out there. But honestly, there are a lot of regionals out there. Other than the host team, there doesn't look like there's a lot of interest there. There is a lot of interest for me, and I suspect many people, given the array of talent. I can't speak to the merits of any of these teams. Again, that's not the level of, that's not what I pay attention to. Don't have any pretension of expertise. But I just like the sound and the look of the three schools that are joining Oregon State starting Friday at noon.
Yeah, that's well put, Dave. And before we break, and we hope to get to more calls and texts as we go on this Tuesday, there is a difference, too. You know, the team down the road, I'm sure, has they do have an argument. The head-to-head argument, they win all four. But they also played 36 home games.
Yeah.
The Beavers played 19. Therein is a major difference, and the Beavers went 24-10-1 in those road games you refer to. So the committee was weighing it all. Clearly, I give them credit for not just reducing a choice to a four-game stretch over a 55-game season. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. But let me ask you fellas a couple of questions. I know Oregon I don't want to go down kind of a dark corridor here, but mm-hmm. just looking at things honestly, it's nice to be a number 8 seed to be able to host a regional. But Oregon State has been in a line to host a regional before and not made a super regional, that is, and not made it out of its own regional.
True.
Can you briefly recapitulate that? And lastly, my last question going out the door, which is not to preclude further dialogue, but I know a break's coming up. The one time Oregon State has only lost one super regional once they have gotten to that point by winning the regional. So can you briefly recapitulate Oregon State's track record in that regard?
Yeah,
Mike,
you bet.
Or John.
Great to hear from you, Dave. Thank you. We will break on that. Now, we'll come back and talk about some of those matters. Dave refers to 2014 and 19.
19?
When the Beavers did lose home regionals. They were hosting and lost in 14. UC Irvine prevailed. And in 2019, the Beavers lost the regional at home when they struggled down the stretch of Adley's superior year. The Beavers were 8-14 or something like that down the stretch of that season. They just
who was in that region?
Cincinnati ended up eliminating the Beavers.
Okay.
That was one of those games. I don't have it all in my mind freshly. That's a game where they walked Adley intentionally with the bases loaded.
If the Beavers would have beaten Auburn that year, would they have gone to
yeah,
would they have
yeah.
hosted a super?
No, in 2022, that was the super regional.
Oh, that was the super. Yeah, yeah.
Game
yeah.
three.
That's right.
The winner take all to Omaha. The Beavers lose by a run to DeShera. What was the kid's first name? The big kid hit kind of a fly ball to right.
Yeah.
Sonny DeShera.
Yeah.
And the Beavers lost by a run. That was a painful moment in our existence together. Yes.
Yep.
But they were one win and essentially one run shy, two runs shy, winning that game, three at home. When you're at home in a decisive game, in a winner take all to Omaha, you feel like you're in pretty good position to win. And they didn't. Auburn did. And so that one hurts. Now the Beavers, so they've lost in 14 and 19 at home in the first round. And in 22, the only time they've lost at home was to Auburn in a super. Any thoughts? Anyone, feel free to jump in. Your reaction to the show, what your emotions were, what your expectation was going in. I feel as though we've had here of late down the stretch of our season and maybe even throughout the season, almost the old-fashioned old that a prophet has honor everywhere, save in his own country. You know, it's a famous proverb that people sometimes in their own country don't fully. I thought all year long, because we hand-wring and we commiserate over the losses and we see a game here and a game there that we let get away or a blown lead or how come our hitting went quiet in a certain stretch. And, oh, my gosh. Oh. I mean, there was a point at one point somebody said, told me that people on a textual thread or a message board or whatever I was having reported to me saying, we have fans saying we're not even going to make a regional now. You know, I mean, that's how much we care.
Yeah.
But not only did the Beavers make a regional, they're 1 of 16 and they're 1 of 8 in a top seed. And yet people that are really in deep on this, I think the most ardent Beaver fans are almost more surprised about the 8 national seed than other people kind of looking and saying, look what Oregon State did. I also wonder, If you have any thoughts on that, if you're among those, yeah, I'm really surprised because I don't think we should be an eight national. I mean, you may have that opinion. Feel free to share it if you want. We'd love to hear from you today, whatever you're on the spectrum of opinion about this and your reaction to the news. 541-497-5356. 541-497-5356. Part of me, the word, and we asked Aaron Fitt about it, and Aaron wouldn't quite bite in terms of saying, well, what will the committee do in terms of the quote-unquote deserves? Does Oregon State deserve? And I understand deserves a loaded word, and it can mean a lot of things. Well, they deserve it because of their body of work. They deserve it because of this and that, their road record. It almost looks to me like the committee maybe at some point did look at Oregon State's situation.
Well, they never talked about it.
No, they didn't. I mean, the committee may have amongst themselves. Oh,
right.
We don't know about it. Knows what the committee says amongst themselves unless somebody comes out and says later, well, here's what we talked about.
Yeah.
But in awarding Oregon State a number 8 seed, there had to be discussions. I think I would feel as though somebody or a couple of people would say, you know what? Yeah, they did lose. Yeah, they lost. Yeah. But look at their record and look what they were forced to do and look what they were thrown into and how they handled that. This team, quote unquote, deserves an 8 seed. They do.
And road wins.
Yes.
Total road wins. And this is never talked about anywhere. But that trip to Iowa was deemed neutral.
Right.
Well, we know it wasn't
neutral.
It was 7,000 Iowa fans.
7,000 Iowa fans on a long trip for Oregon State. Nebraska, I do think, too, helped the Beavers cause a little bit. Ty Horn, former Corvallis Knight. I've interviewed him several times. I like the kid. He pitched a great game and beat UCLA. And
5-0 for the title.
Beat Oregon. I think that helped kind of, okay, so go Cornhuskers.
I think it might have even hurt Oregon in that 12 versus 11, 10, or 9
situation. Think so, too. So Ty Horn, bless your heart, former Corvallis Knight and good kid, did the Beavs a solid, I think, too. So whatever you think the factors were, are your thoughts about the regional field, excitement level, anticipation. Let's take a break. We'd love to hear from you today. 541-497-5356. That's the University Honda text line, the Downward Dog phone line. Love to hear your thoughts and emotions. I don't know if you were as deeply moved as yours truly was, but I also thought of it too, like, hey, I get to be at home maybe for 2 weekends before trying to convince somebody that I can fly after 5 weeks, even though the thing is 6.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got to finesse that one. But now I may have 2 weeks at home before convincing somebody, hey, I'm in good enough shape to get on that plane. Let's take a break. The Joe Beaver Show on Joe Radio. 497-5356, if you care to jump in on the Downward Dog phone line. Open phones most of the show today. Love to get your reaction, Beaver Nation, to the news from yesterday. The selection show has been a staple in our lives for a long, long time. The only other time I remember having a similar bit of emotional reaction, because I think we've had a pretty good sense most of the other time, in terms of the good, 2007, when Pat Casey, we're rolling back down from UCLA after winning the series, and the bus pulls over off I-5. It's one of those incredible moments in time when, after going down to win the series at UCLA to at least keep you in the conversation, coming back down the road on I-5, Pat has the bus driver pull over so he can get out. He doesn't want to be talking on the phone if the news is good or bad, and he doesn't know what the news Murphy is going to be delivering to him. But Pat Murphy calls Pat Casey, Murphy on the committee. And so we pull over. Pat gets off the bus. Coach Casey gets off the bus on I-5. And is kind of outside the bus in a conversation, gets back on, stone face. He's not revealing anything. Little Lady Gaga with a poker face, getting on. We don't know. Is it good? Is it bad? He didn't want to say anything. But the fact that he wasn't coming on smiling with thumbs up, I was a little nervous about whether the Beavers had done enough to get in. So I didn't know. I think Murph must have told Case that night, you're gonna be in. You're going to make it. But Case didn't reveal it. And I watched the show at home the next morning, Memorial Day of 2007, and waiting and all these fields being announced and not seeing Oregon State, not seeing Oregon State, not seeing Oregon State. And then behold, Charlottesville Regional, the three seed. Oregon State gets in. And I remember thinking, oh, gosh, that was it. The same type of, oh, wow, good, we're in at least. Yeah. And the rest is beautiful history. And until yesterday, I'd yet to have that kind of emotional reaction to a selection show ever since, except in 16 being left out, brutally painful.
Yeah.
Painful. That's the other side of it. Left out by Lindsey Meggs, whose son, Jack, by the way, is an assistant coach for St. Mary's. And a hitting coach. And they're good offensively, really good offensively. Over the last 10 games, St. Mary's has been torching people offensively, averaging 11.2 runs per game over their last 10. They've won 9 of their last 10. They're coming in hot with Nick Madrigal's cousin, Eddie Madrigal, 372, 21, and 77, triple crown numbers, 372, 21, and 77. They hit 301 as a club. It's a good offensive club. On the other side, the pitching doesn't appear to be commensurate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news for the Beavers. But I'm saying anybody getting into the tournament, generally speaking, is coming in playing pretty good baseball or you don't get in.
Except for Arizona State losing four straight.
Is it Arizona State that lost their last four or Arizona?
There's a couple of teams that have lost four straight.
Okay. Let's get to some calls. Joe and Everett are on the line. Joe on the Downward Dog phone line. Joe, welcome to the Joe Beaver Show. Hey, Joe.
No, I went through my range of emotions throughout this whole season with certain losses and close games and everything else. After that Nebraska series, it was real hit and miss just because I felt like that could be almost a straw that breaks the camel's back. If we don't win that series, like, is that going to keep us from being a top eight or hosting or whatever? But as the conference tournaments for everybody was going on, a lot of us were rooting for Hawaii to do well. A lot of us were rooting for Xavier to do well, to stay in those top spots. And then here's rooting for Nebraska to do well, to give us a go 500 in quad one wins.
Yes.
And that definitely, I think, helped us. I also think the road schedule and doing what we did on the road was a big indicator as well. I sent John a text with some information on TCU's play-by-play guy. So this is also a call to arms to Beaver fans to be loud and goss and be cheerful. I will be heading up to my first ever Corvallis Regional to attend every single game. So I'm looking forward to going there. I've attended a couple as a student, but that was back when student tickets were very, very limited. So you could only go to one game. So I'm excited to be going. I was supposed to go last year, but got COVID coming off my cruise. So looking forward to it and can't wait to be there. And maybe we can chat a little bit in person.
Hey, Joe, before you go, and Joe, I'm glad. That's great news that you're coming. You sent John a text. His jaw dropped as he was reading it. So we'll get to it in a moment. But what's the upshot of the TCU play-by-play guy?
I know he responded to a comment that I made. I think he thinks TCU is going to roll this.
Yeah.
I can text you guys the numbers. Actually, I'll text John right now. Give me a second here.
I'll read it.
No, John's got it. But
very favorable.
I got the stats comparing the two programs and how they stack up. Oh, wait, that's USC.
Okay,
We've got the stats. I just want to read the text.
Yeah, go ahead.
He writes, very favorable draw, in my opinion. The home field advantage that every SEC team has been understated, I think. Corvallis is so much of an easier environment to play in compared to Oxford. He said, not to mention, I think OSU is a pretty big fraud this year. They went 0-4 versus Oregon, who's also a fraud.
Is that what he says? Okay,
man,
folks.
I didn't know play-by-play guys could get that.
Yeah, you know, I've never said anything on behalf of Oregon State. Now,
you would never get into it with a fan.
No, I remember yelling at the Charlottesville announcer when he was questioning Pat Casey's dignity and integrity as a human being.
Yeah, you know?
I mean, anyway, TCU's play-by-play guy. Okay, that's all right. TCU's also the place where Pat Casey says the most profane fans ever. When the Beavers played in the 2009 regional in Fort Worth, he said, and Joe, good to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks,
Thank you,
Joe,
for sending us that text. We'll get to Everett here in a moment. TCU fans, he said, Pat said, he's never heard more volatility or vile. You know, I just wondered about the middle part of their school name, Texas Christian University. Let no profane communication proceed out of your mouth was evidently overlooked by the student body and other fans because it was mostly profane, according to Pat and others behind the Beavers dugout when the Beavers have been down there a couple of times.
I
they get into
when
it. They're vile. But, you know, so I would say if the Beavers end up playing TCU, Beaver Nation, be as loud, not profane or vile, but loud and create a home field atmosphere that may get the TCU play-by-play guy to reconsider. Because, no, it's not Oxford. It's not some of the those stadiums and those atmospheres I've not been in very often. I've been in LSU, so I know what it's about there. It's incredible. But Goss Stadium at Coleman Field, the whole Michael Gretler doctrine from a few years back, Goss got him. We were down in the sixth inning, but Goss got him. Go get him, Goss. 497-5356, if you have any thoughts to share along these lines. Everett joins us, Everett Hartman on the Joe Beaver Show. Good morning, Everett.
Good morning, Mike, John. Just had a couple of thoughts I wanted to share with you. Like many Beaver fans yesterday, I was a little shocked and surprised at our number 8 seed. Most of what I had read online was somewhere between 9 and about 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. So that was a pleasant announcement. But at the same time, you know, when you look at 19 home games, I think I read somewhere that Oregon played 36 home games.
They did.
Again, if you look from the outside, as you said, and you look at what this team went through, the miles they traveled, the trips that they had to take, and to still win 41 games, and potentially could have won a few more here and there, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's still quite an accomplishment. So, you know, now the pressure's on a little bit. You're at home for both the regional and super regional, and our expectations as Beaver fans is on to Omaha. So I hope they can make that come about. Something else I wanted to share with you guys, Andy Peterson and the Len Benton Roadrunners won a second consecutive back-to-back NWAC title this weekend.
They did, and third out of their last four seasons. And Everett, that was not lost upon us. In fact, I'm hoping to visit with somebody from LB and the Roadrunners Championship. That's a tremendous victory. Again, another NWAC title. We're not going to ignore it. We'll get somebody on this week before we close the show and talk to them about it. You're right. That's a great achievement. And to do it twice in a row and three out of four is very impressive.
Yes, it is. And, you know, when they brought the program back, a lot of help with Steve Carruthers and Dan Siegel and those people. But, you know, Ryan Gibson, who I got to work with out at LB, just did a tremendous job. And then he goes to Oregon State. They bring in Andy. And Andy has just continued that and put his own stamp on this program. And, they're both just quality young men, great coaches. I expect Andy someday to be a Division I coach somewhere that's not Oregon State. And, you know, just couldn't be happier for those guys.
Yeah.
And my last thought I wanted to share with you guys was I was really saddened to hear the passing of Carl Hutzler last week, the longtime Corvallis Spartan baseball coach. I had the opportunity being a Raider to compete against his teams in high school. And actually, one of my best friends in high school and then a roommate of mine in college for 2 years was his oldest son, Mike Hutzler. So I knew Carl pretty well. I competed against, you know, Larry Reynolds and Tim Reynolds and Harold Reynolds and all those guys, Jerry Miller. You know, just a lot of them. And I had forgotten when you had Harold on that he talked about their 56-game win streak in the Valley League.
Yeah.
And I kind of chuckled to myself and went, I had forgotten that. And then I couldn't, not to toot my own horn, but it also brought back the memory of when I was a senior, I pitched against them over at Taylor Field, and we lost a very close game, 3-2, that was part of that win streak.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny that there was a play at third base on a bunt by Harold Reynolds that I fielded off the mound. And Harold was obviously going to be safe, so I turned and whirled to look at third base. And my future roommate, Mike Hutzler, a good friend, was rounding the bag, and I made a quick throw back there. And it was a bang-bang play. They called him safe, and they went on to win that game 3-2. But I always kidded him when we lived together. I said, you know, I still think you were out. And he would laugh and go, nah, I got my hand in there. I was safe. I would just joke with him that Well, let's remember that Dave Evenson, a former Spartan and played for Carl, was the umpire on that play too. So I have to believe that he was.
We'll
I
have
to believe he was objective.
We'll
but
have
at the
to
same
talk.
Time.
Yeah,
Dave.
We're going to have to talk to Dave about whether he's reconsidered through his life. Yeah. You know what might have actually happened there at third.
Well, you know, you can't go back and change the past. So, you know, he was safe, and they beat us 3-2. But anyway, just some good baseball thoughts. I texted Mike and talked to him when I found out that his dad had passed, and it was really good to hear some of the stories Harold had. And I was aware of the Willie Mays connection and out to all the players that played for him and for the Hutzler family.
Yeah, really an amazing life that impacted so many, as we learned in a very real sense last week. Good to hear from you, Everett. Thank you for the call. Let's take a break, John, on that note. Open phones, 541-497-5356. That's the Downward Dog phone line. The University Honda text line, the same number. What was your level of reaction, surprise, delight? I knew it would be an eight. Yeah, come on. You know, I don't know where you were with your own attitude going in, but I will say that when, you know, I watch shows, all these shows on TV, there aren't many times in life when an image comes on my TV screen in my living room that makes me happy. And yesterday, it did. Very happy. And I don't know what your thoughts and emotions were about it all. Not even beyond just emotions, thoughts about, okay, well, did you go in expecting to see the Beavers be one of the eight? Or were you, like everybody I'm talking to, uses the phraseology, shocked, surprised, pleasantly surprised, really happy, didn't expect that? Or did we in our own world, because we do commiserate over every pitch and every defeat, in a sense, not fully reckon upon what the committee evidently did, that what Oregon State did was eight seed worthy? Does that, or do you feel like, yeah, I know, but I wasn't expecting it. I didn't expect the committee to do the right thing. I believe they did. 541-497-5356 on the Joe Beaver Show.
Don't be swayed on Thursday when it rains.
It's supposed to rain Thursday, but it turns glorious Friday. Is that the truth? What you're understanding anyway?
What I'm understanding.
Nice. Okay. Phone lines are empty, which is a little surprising to me, a little disappointing with you. I thought, oh my gosh, I thought Beaver Nation would be coming out of the woodwork to react on any kind of level. Text line, there's some busyness there, but if you want to jump in, if you've never called the show, if you call the show frequently and haven't today, but feel free, the lines are open. We kind of left it that way for today to have a couple of hours of reaction together to news that struck me as somewhat unexpected in nature. Yes, when I saw those numbers going, six, four, five, eight.
Eight was the only option.
I thought it was eight or bust.
There were no surprises one through seven.
And so was as good a news as I've seen on my TV screen in a long time. If you have any thoughts about how it happened, why it happened, should it have happened, delighted that it did, surprised that it did, whatever your level of reaction to it, to the field, one D1 writer, easiest path to Omaha, Oregon State has it. Next writer says toughest regional for one seed, Oregon State. So opinion is all over the board. What are your thoughts? Open phones, open texts, 541-497-5356.
CVB poses a good question. This is a good question. Northeastern comes in with a 27-game winning streak. If they were to beat FSU, is it a slight upset or a big one? He points out, and I didn't know this, they're the only team with single-digit losses in the regular season.
Interesting. Yes, it would still be a big upset. I'm not... Good for Northeastern. You know, I know about as much as about Northeastern as apparently the hosts on ESPN2 know about Oregon State.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the feeling I get. But Kyle Peterson did talk Northeastern up a good deal.
He did.
You win 27 straight, as Dougie said this morning to you on the Clue Morning Update. You're doing something right. They pitch. They're really good. It would be an upset, though, clearly, if they go to Tallahassee and beat a ninth seeded Florida State. It would be a big upset. Then they would come out here believing they're on a roll if the Beavers were able to get through the Corvallis Regional. Now, in 2019, just because we were curious, We kind of quit paying attention, I think, after the Beavers were eliminated 2-Q in their own regional in 19.
Right.
Losing to Cincinnati 7-6, and then losing to Creighton 4-1.
Which was on the heels of winning the national championship.
Right, in 18. And then in 19, riding high most of the year.
Yeah.
And then had a three games, the Beavers lost three games at home to Oklahoma State. And I remember those were sort of the, well, what's going on? Oklahoma State's good, but they came to Corvallis and just swept the Beavers. I remember being pretty nervous about that.
Yeah.
And the team did not finish well that year. They had a good year, but they didn't finish well. And Michigan went on to beat Creighton in the winner-take-all game that year. I forgot that. I didn't care. Yeah. Once the Beavers were out, it didn't matter to me.
I didn't even go back.
Yeah. No, I didn't either.
I didn't. You know, there were games left to be played after the Beavers were eliminated, and now I'm not going back.
And so what's going on? That's a good question, though, CVB. I would say, yes, it would still be an upset. 27-game win streak.
There's enough storylines that all weekend long I'm going to be very curious to see what happens in the other regionals, not just on what potential matchups are with the Beavers, but other other storylines.
Absolutely.
YouTube had a podcast. This is someone else. I agreed with 1-7, but went off when the Ducks, 12 and 1-7. Got it. Yeah. Okay. I agreed with 1-7. Went off when the Ducks 12 and Beavs 8. His counterpart defended number 8, said we were abandoned and had to put together a very tough road schedule with only 19 home games. We were forced to put together a respectable schedule in hopes of getting a better RPI. Absolutely. Wazoo joined they joined the Mountain West. It says West Coast Conference here, but they were in the Mountain West. And RPI was too low. So excited for the team. Go Beavs. Thanks for your great help in honoring Carl. I'm not sure who
is that. Dan in Beaverton?
Yeah, Dan in Beaverton.
Okay, thank you, Dan. I appreciate everything you've done for us in regards to that, too. Thank you, sir.
Here's another one, and this looks like it's the first ever. So, Brad and Sherwood, I was fairly shocked by the top 8 selection when I saw that Georgia was 7. I, too, thought, I just don't see it being, you know, I just didn't see that. I just assumed that 8 would go to Oregon. It was nice to see that the committee honored RPI, strength of schedule, and travel considerations.
Yeah, they must have.
Yeah, they must have. It makes the struggle and challenges this season worth it, Brad and Sherwood.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's absolutely. Yeah. That's good. Okay. Not sure who this is. Look back on some previous texts to see if there's a signature. No. I was very pleasantly surprised, nearly shocked about the top 8 seed, as I figured they would choose the Ducks over us, but this time we had a harder schedule and better RPI. The RPI was better than Oregon all season.
Right. And Oregon
never wavered. They climbed a lot.
There was a time that Oregon, I thought, might not even make the field.
Yeah.
There was a stretch. They were one of the hottest teams in the country coming down the stretch. There's no question about that.
They were.
And I was nervous thus along those lines.
He says, I figured they would choose the Ducks over us. This time we had a nationals. We had a harder schedule and better RPI, and I'm really glad. It seems they took all of that into consideration and rewarded us for that.
Yeah.
I mean, they never said what the reasons were. I mean, a little bit on that question posed, you know, Oregon swept, why Oregon State? Dean in Eugene. Oh, Jesse, Dean from Eugene's son. He says, I'm as moved as you, Mike, and I believe we deserved every bit of this 8 seed. I'm so proud of this 25 baseball team that I've followed very closely. And we're done in 20 seconds.
Okay,
I'll
gotcha.
Do this at the, after the next hour.
Thank
I'm glad
you, Jesse.
You pointed that out.
No, Jesse, thank you. We're going to take a top-of-the-hour break. We hope to hear from some of you via the Downward Dog phone line, the University Honda text line. Next hour, a lot of guests coming up as the week goes along, including Sarah Elcano and Alan Thayer. But we'd love to hear from you next.
Hello, are you ready? Are you ready?
It's ready. Yes. Yes, it's ready.
The Joe Beaver Show is on the air.
Are you ready?
Just like Donald Trump, Macho Man. I hope you're ready, brother.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready, Woodrow.
You ready?
I was born ready.
Ready?
No, I was ready.
Lay. Ready.
Always ready, John.
John and Mike are ready with all manner of meaningful dialogue, email, bits and bytes, tweets and texts.
Oh, I see. You take care of both sides of the conversation.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world,
it's the Joe B.
Beaver Show.
There's never been anything like this. Impressive. Your greatest creation. Genius. Work of genius.
And there they go.
Hour number two of the Joe Beaver Show. John Warren, Mike Parker. Beautiful Tuesday. The weather should be great for the regionals coming up this weekend. I was just on the OSUBeavers.com regional site. If you look at the stats page for all four teams, there's one little glitch, and that is on Oregon State. If you click on their stats page, it takes you to a default of 24 stats. But right next to the thing that says big, bold, black letters 24 is the drop-down menu for all the years, and you just update it to 25 and then push print if you want to see the cumulative stats for comparisons, which I did. We have all four teams, and at first I was like, wow, the Beavers with 118 home runs, way more than 77 for St. Mary's. And that was last year. This year's 83. It's respectable.
It's very good. Yes,
it's very good. And it's the most in the region, but it isn't quite the 118 that happened last year. So that has to, you got to upgrade that if you're going to check that out.
And that's one of the things too, that I heard. I haven't studied trends across college baseball all year in terms of looking at team home runs and results.
Right.
Kyle Peterson said several times yesterday during the two-hour selection show and aftermath road to Omaha and all of that, he said home runs are down in college baseball this year. He said that several times. And if you just look at Oregon State, one example of 307 Division I teams, from 118 to 83. And apparently that's a trend repeated across the country, that home runs were down. And I haven't studied to know what percentage, how many numbers were hit collectively in 2024 compared to now. I'm relying on Peterson, who is an authority and follows a lot of things, saying home runs are down in college baseball. So,
well, even still, Oregon State at 83, that's six more than the next. St. Mary's was 77 and almost 20 more than the other two opponents. So at least they're, and it seemed like this year, the Beavers got the home runs when they needed them. Or would pile on. And I don't know, their offense seemed hot this year, as hot as seemingly in the past. It was some of the middle innings pitching that would get and then there were some times though when the offense just completely disappeared, and you're wondering, what is going on? Right about now, the way that they left off with the Long Beach State Series, it started to look good. 13-0, 7 innings, the whole nine yards. The other thing about that I wanted to point out, too, was that I believe it worked out in the long run. We can look back and say it really did work out that the Beavers didn't have a tournament to play in and had a chance to heal up. Yes, stay sharp by playing each other, but heal up more than anything and rest up.
Right.
I think that's an advantage.
So the Beavers sat, other teams did things that also, I think, worked, as we've had Joe say and others of you, that some of the results in the tournaments were favorable to the Beavers. While the Beavs had intra-squads, by the way, did any of you go? I went Saturday, sort of a test case, beautiful day Saturday. But for me, it was, can I do this? Can I park my car, take my cane, and walk into Goss Stadium at Coleman Field? The answer to that was, yes, I could do that. Okay, can I walk through the Jack Riley Concourse? Can I get behind home plate and there's a little stairwell there? Can I go up that stairwell, take a left and go up the next stairwell and enter the McGrath Family Press Box? Again, the answer, yes. Could I walk through the press box to my spot in the corner where Jim Wilson and I, in theory, we'll be working together? And the answer to that was yes, too. So I was able to do all of that. That was the biggest reason. Then I enjoyed just walking around a little bit, getting some steps in. That's one of the requirements in the rehab, frequent walks. Walk for 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, slightly increase it each time. Step, 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 step. For somebody who was able to make it to the Diamond Head Crater, that feels like quite a come down. to be able to walk for 20 minutes, but it's what I got to do. Okay, so I'm trying to do it, but I could do it at Goss. I was grateful for a few folks who saw me and said, hey, way to go, Mike, keep going, that type of thing. That felt good to be encouraged by Beaver believers, citizens of Beaver Nation. So Jim Wilson and I believe we'll be working together this weekend, and we hope the following weekend on a road to Omaha.
Just for fun.
Dallas Macias hit two homers in the Saturday scrimmage, and that was good to see. On the yin and yang, well, who gave him up? I don't worry about that. I'm glad Dallas hit two home runs, getting that swing back right in time, we hope.
Anyway. Yes. Okay. I'm just having fun with numbers, right? Letterman called it fun with everything. So I'm looking up home runs because we're talking about it, how they come down. Team leaders, Georgia Bulldogs led the NCAA home runs at least with 100 home runs, the Beavers with 83. Through May 20th, which was, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
As reported by Oregon's Mason Neville led the nation with 19 home runs. Well,
no,
Clive
that's
Arquette
not true.
Had 17.
No. Mason Neville hit 26. I noticed that they didn't do their homework on, at least they said Iva Arquette and not Ava when Kyle Peterson talked about, but when they talked about Oregon's home run leader. And did Neville end up leading the country in homers? I don't know the answer to that question. I think he did. 26, 27, I'm not sure. But that alone tells me that home runs were down. If that's your nation's home run leader, Neville. Did he end up leading the country in home runs?
I will tell you here momentarily. Okay. I'm looking up the stats.
And by the way, while you look those up, an answer to the question, I believe the answer is 2013, the Beavers hosted a regional in 13 and a super regional and went to Omaha. That same year, Oregon did host a regional, and they lost in their home regional in 13 in Eugene. So this would be the second time in the regional, super regional format that the Beavers and Oregon have both hosted the same postseason. The Beavers went on through to Omaha, hosting again in the super round against Kansas State. Oregon lost in its home regional in 13 in Eugene.
I have the answer.
Yes.
Mason, how do you say
Neville.
Mason Neville, 26 home runs, leads the nation. Matt Shark, Southern Illinois, with 24. Rock Chalowski
from UC, a good friend of Gavin Turley, good player too.
23, along with Kyle Fossum with 23 from Youngstown State. A Wright State kid also with 23. Cooper Torres, East Tennessee State with 22. I mean, there's a lot of guys.
In the low 20s?
All the way down to where not even on the page is Iva with 17.
So that in itself, Bazana hit 28 last year.
Yeah. Jacob Walsh from Oregon is on the list with 19.
Right. And so that alone tells you that if your nation's leader was Mason Neville with 26, that right there tells you home runs must have been down, and they were, as Kyle Peterson said several times yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be curious to know what people are really looking for in this tournament, outside of Oregon State winning, of course. But, you know, you got to have some fun with numbers. And this, is it Lodice kid from Florida State, supposedly the best shortstop in the nation. We think it's Iva, but everyone else says it's
this kid. They do play together.
If
Florida State ends up coming up here, you'll have a showcase of the two best shortstops given that the Major League Baseball teams evaluate. Iva Arquette is still projected to be, I think, taken above the FSU shortstop, although he's very good from all indications.
Okay.
So that could be, if it happens, if both teams play through and the host teams win and match up in Corvallis for the Super Regional, will be treated to a showcase of two of the best shortstops in America in that Super Regional.
Got another, got a text here. As for why the Beavers were chosen as one of the top eight teams, I would think high consideration could have been given to the fact that we were in a very challenging position, given that we didn't have a conference and had to build our own schedule from scratch. Built it very well in regards to RPI, whereas other teams had their schedules pretty much business as usual, and we performed well. I was also pleasantly surprised at the selection, as we usually seem to get the short end of the stick when there's a choice to be made. That is a good point. And, you know, the more that we get more texts on this about mm-hmm. the building of the schedule, I don't know. I've given it more thought today than ever before. And really, they had to do that. They had to build it. Now, they're in the process, I think, of building next year's, and some teams will come here. It won't be a one for one.
No, but and it also won't be as road heavy next year. And
right.
part of the day, to me, there's a little good news and bad in it. And I don't know how Beaver fans feel, how you today feel. Dave said that while we didn't have as many home games, maybe it worked out and therefore was good for the program and team. And the reason I do think the Beavers are an 8 seed with this independent schedule is the number of games they went and won on the road
right.
in putting it together. Do you, as a fan of the team and program, if you had your druthers, would you druther? Well, good, but next year there's going to be a lot more home games. Okay, yes, that's good. But Mitch has said, home games are great, but we want them to be at the end of the year when they really matter in
yeah.
a couple of extra games, three in theory, five more. You want to win three in your home regional as they did last year before going off to Lexington. Win three and then win two. So you have a chance for five more home games, running your number up to about 24 home games for the year. But you understand where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Good. We'll have more home because Mitch told me, all he said to me was, we're going to be on the road a lot in 2025. The mm-hmm. good news is we'll have a lot of home games in 26. Would any of you right now say, as a fan of the program, I would forego again seeing my team at home in the regular season if it meant going on the road and doing what they did? Oh, no. I'd much rather have more home games. Okay, you may get your wish. In fact, you will. There will be more home games next year, period. But they better win them all and not stumble on the road much, because what got them into an 8 seed this year
right.
might have been that 24-10 road record.
It's an either or thing. It really is either or, and you got to do well under both scenarios. And there will be more home
yeah.
games, like you said, next year. Hopefully they are higher quality opponents. So if you feel you have home field advantage against a higher quality opponent, you take care of business, and that helps your RPI.
I do think in that whole, would you take right now, would you take this or that? I heard Rick Riz talking with Gary Hill about it when I think the Mariners may have lost the last two games of the road trip or whatever to Houston. It went 6-3 or whatever on the road. And Rick, in the end, as we all do, you take whatever happens and say, well, if somebody would have said to you before the road trip started, you're going to go 6-3 on this road trip, you'd take it right now.
The old you would take it.
But then you lose the last two to get to 6-3 or whatever it was. Now, if somebody would have said to you before the year, okay, look, you're only going to have 19 home games, but you're going to be a top 8 seed.
Yeah.
Would you take that, Beaver Nation? Or would you rather have an even balance, home and away? You understand where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Next year,
you're
not going to have that same sort of thing to lay your hang your hat on, so to speak, in theory, road games. If the committee rewarded Oregon State for being abandoned, mm-hmm. for they weighed everything, next year it could be a little more balanced home and away. They're probably going to have to win more games and not stumble, maybe, like they did 12 times this year. They may have less margin for error with a schedule that's more home friendly.
Yeah, I would be surprised if anybody said no to being guaranteed a top 8 seed, no matter what came around it. I don't care. The answer should be, I don't care if we have one home game.
If
we're guaranteed a top 8
right.
seed, I'll take it, because
right.
that's where it matters, is mm-hmm. the playoff run. I think a lot of what may help next year, I know this is really, really on the fringe, a little existential. Think of it that way. But I think a lot of what can happen for the Beavers next year may be happening here. In other words, getting through this regional, doing it maybe in a semi-dominant fashion. All of the positives that mm-hmm. can come from what happens in this regional and or super regional may pay off next year.
It could, although the schedule is mostly done. I do. I know there's other contracts and things. I haven't talked to Mitch about it lately. When I see him this weekend, I'll broach the subject
yeah.
about next year as far as schedule goes and where we're at with it. But I agree with you in terms of being in the national consciousness
yeah.
and having perhaps Kyle Peterson and Mike Rooney and others a little less. That Ava Ivar kid. Now, Peterson got if the Beavers get back to Omaha this year, it would behoove them. I think what you're saying is what they do in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Goes a long way in sort of solidifying their position in the national scene for people. Well, here's Oregon State again. Doesn't matter if they're an independent or what conference they're in. Here they are again.
And we're here. It's all good moving forward. But I'm shocked. I am beyond shocked that the Beaver situation is not more discussed on the national level.
Right.
They just flat out ignored the Beavers. Now, I usually don't care about that kind of stuff. You earn what you get. I think this time they earned a lot and didn't get it.
Very little chat about them.
Yeah.
In fact, it was almost what little chat there was, well, I thought Coastal Carolina was going to get the eight seed.
Yeah.
I thought they should have. Then the other part of the conversation, well, Oregon beat them four times. What do you say to that? Was not so much anyone taking up for, guys, look, here's why they got the eight seed.
Yeah.
Look what they did. There was very little of that.
No, and there was
almost none of it.
There was no. Oregon State shouldn't have been there. It was nothing negative.
Right.
It was just nothing positive. Nothing at all.
That accounted for it.
Yeah, that was strange.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a new text here from Sam. Super glad to be top eight, but regardless of what anyone says, OSU has the toughest regional. Case in point, look at the Ducks field. Mike, happy to hear you are on the mend. Respectfully, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. Yeah, I do think Oregon's path is... The field there is not as challenging as what the Beavers are dealing with. I agree with that. So maybe that's the yin and the yang of things. If you say, Oregon, we're not giving you an eight seed, and you don't have a path to be at home two weekends in a row, we will send a less saltier field to you. I mean, I don't know how the committee comes to its decisions. I really don't. But I would agree, I do think the field that Oregon gets is not quite as challenging as what Oregon State is getting. I concur with you, Sam.
I kind of think UCLA got hosed by having Irvine in their region. Nobody wants Irvine in their region. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that at all. But
hey, let's take a break. Crazy. If you have any thoughts on the Downward Dog phone line, the lines are free and clear. 497-5356. Did you attend the intra-squad scrimmage over the weekend? Part of all three games, one of them. I enjoyed Saturday immensely. Did you? What are your thoughts about what you saw? Trending, perhaps players and people. You say, I like what I saw. That. Oh, he looks like he's got a swing back. Whatever the case. 497-5356, the Downward Dog phone line, the University Honda text line. Anything else on your mind today? We'd love to hear from you. Alan Thayer, Sarah Elcano, and others as the week goes along. Great to have you with us on the Joe Beaver Show on Joe Radio. We continue on the Joe Beaver Show. Mike Parker with John Warren, 541-497-5356. 541-497-5356. The Downward Dog phone line, the University Honda text line. Your reaction to watching yesterday's show? I've only been moved by it twice to joy, 2007 and 2025. To anger in 16, 08. 08, the only other time since this amazing Beaver baseball run began. In 05, the breakthrough after 53 years of not going to the College World Series. That great team led by Jacoby and Andy Jenkins. Andy coming back to town.
That's right.
With USC as an assistant anyway.
He was the third base coach in 2018? 2017.
Yeah. Yes. And the last time that I was... The Beavers were left out of the field in 08. And it's interesting that year, the Beavers' final record was 28-24.
There's a couple of teams like that in this tournament.
Four games were rained out at home. Part of me thought if the Beavers had played those four and won them, they're 32-24. Mm-hmm. Let's just say maybe they lose one. But getting to that 30-win mark, again, what is the committee weighing and looking at? And the RPI wasn't great, but as Pat Casey argued, of the eight national seeds that year, the Beavers won series against three of them. Nearly half the field, the Beavers won series in 08 against three of the top eight national seeds, one of them on the road.
They should have gotten in.
Yes.
That's on that alone.
But four games rained out. They don't have 30 wins, and they didn't get an at-large berth. The Beavers were 11-13 in the Pac-10 that year. The year before, they were 10-14 and got in, but their RPI was better. But I remember not being shocked to be left out in 08, but there, even then, there was an argument. Certainly, there was an argument in 16. They should have been in the field. Yeah. They didn't have anybody going to bat for them. In fact, the opposite of almost going to bat. The opposite. Instead of contending for and fighting for, I don't really think they're your representative doesn't go to bat for you. In fact, undermines your case.
Right.
Bad. Real bad.
Did Kentucky win the, what are they? They're 29-24.
They're in. And they were an at-large team, I think. I don't think, they didn't win the SEC tournament.
No,
but they're in. But they got
wins.
In it as an at-large, and that was one of the controversial picks. Now, back to phones and text down the stretch in this open phone and text day. We have this next person scheduled to be a guest tomorrow, but apparently her schedule has freed her up because I was going to talk to Sydney today, the creator of MLBeavs.com. I reached out to her earlier. Do you have time to join us around 12:30? She said she has class, but whether she's skipping.
Well, you better hurry.
I know, we better.
After.
Whether she's skipping class, Sydney, I don't know. We have you scheduled for tomorrow, and we may re-up, but Sydney, you have some thoughts. Welcome to the Joe Beaver Show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I promise I'm not skipping class. It got canceled about an hour ago.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, let's go. Let's do this now, then. If you have some time,
right.
we'll hit this today because that was sort of in my mind originally. I knew we didn't have any guests per se. We wanted to open the phones, but this is up the alley to talk to you about your reaction as a fan to the selection show, but then we can touch on MLBeavs.com as well. So go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So my first thought was in response to something John just said a little bit ago, which is that anybody would absolutely prefer an 8 seed no matter what. You know, you take it however you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of felt this way, and maybe this is just me as a fan trying to cope with all the uncertainty around, where we'd be seated and trying to mentally reach a point where I'm okay with a lower seed. But I just remember thinking, like, if this schedule and the toll this has taken on our guys is what it takes to make a top 8 seed, maybe it's not worth it. And that could change down the road as things, hopefully get easier for us and we're not so much on the outside looking in and having to fight our way to the top. But I just remember thinking, like, all of this fighting so hard and, being on the road for weeks at a time, mm-hmm. and going from Hawaii to Iowa in the span of 2 days,
right.
and having to play games, and the fact that they didn't win all three, even though they didn't lose any of them, they mm-hmm. didn't win all three and we weren't able to celebrate. It felt like the wins couldn't be celebrated as much because we're so focused on, oh, thank goodness we didn't lose.
Interesting.
So I think I felt like if we get the top 8 seed, great. But if we don't, and that gives our guys, maybe the chip on their shoulder, mm-hmm. or whatever it may be, I would take that just for our... I think when I follow sports, I think very much my connection is to the players, most notably. That's why it's especially hard for me when guys leave in the portal and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
My connection is to the players even really more so than the program itself. So I've really just been like, if we had to take like a 12 seed just for our guys to get some extra rest or to have another home game. And, it doesn't quite increase, it doesn't help our RPI as much, but they got to sleep in their own beds for an extra weekend.
Yeah.
I would take that.
I hear you, Sydney. I do hear you. I think that's a reasonable, intelligent, you've made a reasonable, reasoned objection. It's well thought. You've developed various ideas, and what you've just said to us, overruled. No, I'm sorry. I had to channel Fred Gwynn from My Cousin Vinny when he actually commended Joe Pesci for a wealth and then overruled it. Now, I'm not going to go Fred Gwynn completely, rest his soul, but I will say this. Yes, I think what you're saying is to do everything. We'll see if it's exacted at all, you know, to get that eight seed by being on the road so much. Maybe you'd like a little more balance next year. Maybe it doesn't lead to an eight seed, but it leads to less of an exacting pull and drag on the body and the soul to be on the road for 24,000 miles and all this stuff. Let's have a little more balance home and away next year, even if it doesn't mean an eight seed. It's kind of what I think you're saying, because it may leave them in an overall better frame of mind physically, psychologically, than the toll they've had to pay this year to get to an eight seed. Is that what you're essentially saying?
Yeah. And, you know, I've been thinking, like, would I rather, oh, yay, we fight and we earn, as we did this season, I believe, we earn that eight seed,
mm-hmm.
and then get to the tournament and we're exhausted and
yeah.
we can't make it regional or our super regional? Would I rather we get in with a lower seed and have the ability to go even further?
That's fair. Now, here's where my counter to that, and not the Fred Gwynn complete overruled notion, but that is this. The way the schedule played out, as difficult and challenging as it was, and believe me, I experienced a lot of it, not the early part, and then thank heaven Josh was able to go to Des Moines. I couldn't. I was having my hip replaced on the day the Beavers began that trip. So I couldn't make that trip. But I went on a lot of the trips and felt the toll, how exhausting it was for me. Now, I think younger guys, younger people, quite a bit younger, can deal with it probably a little more readily than yours truly. But I did feel what you're talking about. However, the way the season ended, to come back home, have a series at home to end the year and finish the way they did, then have what's going to essentially be 2 weeks off before the postseason begins, Sydney, I think that almost balances, not completely, the toll the season took and what you're getting at. But I do think the rest going into this weekend and to be at home and with that sense of ebullience and new life that, hey, not only we're at home this weekend, hey, we take care of business, we're home against next. I think that revivifies everybody and balances what you're talking about. Do you think there's anything in what I just said?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's definitely, you know, and that's where my speculations as a fan and, oh, I'm sure they're feeling this way and mm-hmm. at this time, you know, that's where, you know, I could be saying, you know, oh, I'm sure they're exhausted and would have preferred more home games. And then you could go and talk to them and no, like we're glad we're, you know, it was tough, but it was worth it.
Right.
We're glad it happened. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely, and yeah, the, you know, the scrimmages this weekend, I was at all three of them. That was so much fun. Just everyone
yeah.
was loose and the guys were playing and having fun with it. And it was, you know, I think it's certainly possible that, you know, these last couple weeks have done a lot of good in the way of, you know, balancing out that tough road schedule.
Sydney, before you go, and let's do our thing tomorrow and we'll hit MLBs. We've got Dan on deck we want to get to here in a second, but a quick question for you, and we'll reach out to you tomorrow if that still works, to talk about MLBs.com and some trends with the minor league players. Are you still good for that tomorrow at 12:30?
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, let's do that. Quickly, who won the home run derby? I didn't see it.
That was Gavin Turley by a landslide.
Oh, really? How did they do it? How did they execute the home run derby? Who threw the pitches? Was it Zach Taylor? I mean, how did it go? Were there rounds, the teams, everybody got a chance to swing? What was the format?
They did a three round format. So first round by went to Iva and Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
So they were waiting for round two. I actually was sitting there. I'm looking at I wrote down the results of every round.
So, good for you.
First round, Jacob Craig and Cannon Reeder,
mm-hmm.
They both ended with seven and had to go to a hit-off, and Reeder won it.
Okay.
He went to meet Arquette. Weber hit 12 in his first round against Paul, so he went on to meet Turley. And then in the semis, Turley hit 17.
Okay.
To beat Weber's four and make it and move on. And then Arquette hit five to Reeder's three. So it was a Turley-Arquette final. Arquette hit six. Turley had to hit seven to beat him, and he did indeed.
Okay.
So Yeah, Charlie had a total of 24. Weber was second with 16. So, yeah, Charlie, that 17 round, they did 10 outs to hit as many as you can. And he hit 17 in 10 outs.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's good. You know, I mean, you know, we saw what he did in Baton Rouge a couple of years ago in his freshman year regional. So maybe more of that's coming here at home this weekend. We'll see. Hey, Sydney, yeah, let's talk.
Like
yeah. And Cannon Reeder, you know, I hope staying hot. And Macias hitting two in the game, you know, the inter squad on Saturday. Maybe all of this is going to lead the Beavers to have, as Mitch said, way at the beginning. Look, we don't have many home games. We want to have home games at the end of the year, and they're getting that opportunity, and maybe they can all get hot at once and make a special run. That would be awesome. We appreciate you, Sydney. Thanks for that detailed report. We'll get more tomorrow. Thanks for joining the show today.
Of course. Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Sydney Poynter, the architect of MLBs.com. Good stuff. She's very thorough, Doc, in all of that. I didn't know who won the Home Run Derby because it wasn't officially reported on and on the Beaver baseball page and so on. But good to know Gavin has the swing. He's had a tremendous year, an underrated year. Wasn't even mentioned players to watch in this upcoming tournament. Iva was, but Turley is too, without question. Dan, thanks for the call, Dan. Welcome to the Joe Beaver Show. Dan, are you there? I know you were on hold a while. Are you still there, Dan? Good afternoon. Evidently not, so we'll take a break on that note. If you'd like to join us here down the stretch, 541-497-5356, 541-497-5356. That's the University Honda text line, the Downward Dog phone line. Quick question. I heard Colin today, and this is way off the subject.
Yeah.
But Colin today, I just wonder what it all means, said. He said, oh, the NBA's fine. Doesn't matter about ratings. They've got all these other things going. There's merchandise. And that's what MLB's argument is in terms of their relevance, their place in the marketplace, in the world of sports fans and consumers, that we may bemoan, oh, the ratings for the World Series back in 68, where everybody watched, well, and now they're way down, and World Series ratings and all that are down. But merchandise is up. Ticket sales are still good around major league parks, tickets, merchandise. But these social media numbers, here's what Colin and his sidekick, whatever, said, and it caught me for a moment. Colin's sidekick, whoever he is, said something to the effect, you know, doing the Herdline News, and then something about LaMelo Ball has more Instagram followers than any player in the NFL. Okay. I heard that as I'm driving along. I will say I was a little surprised.
NFL or MLB?
NFL.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, but then as I'm driving, part of me thought, okay, and so what does it mean? I'm asking anybody out there. We're a bunch of old guys. But to hear, so the end, and then he takes that one. So the NBA is fine, is how he concludes. He gets that. LaMelo Ball has more Instagram followers than anybody in the NFL. So the NBA is fine. Well, meaning that don't worry about the ratings on different metrics. They're fine. If LaMelo Ball has that many followers, then how many does LeBron have? How many do the superstars, the SGA, the MVP, Luka, all these players? So what does it mean for young people? Sydney's young. She's 21. She just called us. Maybe she could have told us. But when you hear that LaMelo Ball has more Instagram followers than any player in the NFL does, part of me wants to almost go, so? But I know I shouldn't say so. How big is that? How big of a deal is that whole social media, who's following you, influencer, platform numbers? I'm serious. What does it mean that LaMelo has that many followers? Does that mean, quote unquote, the NBA is fine? What does it mean? 541-497.
The only reason why it could be fine is if it's 56. Making money. It's all about money. So whether or not LaMelo Ball having way more than an NFL player, if the NFL is making more money, then that's a moot
Which
point.
They are, of course. I mean, they're the king of in the sporting
now,
universe.
Now, Colin says the NBA is okay
because
they got
their
TV deal.
Contract.
And so they're not worried, which they should be because, you know, TV wants a good product so they can get high ratings.
But he's saying the ratings aren't that important.
It doesn't matter.
And LaMelo Ball has a lot of Instagram followers. So I guess the whole evaluation of things is utterly different in the day and age, because in my life, I've never thought much about TikTok, Instagram, and other platforms in terms of how many people and followers have.
Right.
And yet the very term influencer, that in itself seems to be a profession. What do you want to be when you grow up? An influencer.
That's a real thing. I've learned a lot about it recently, and that's a real thing. Much to my surprise, as well as yours, I am no less surprised than you. You're just coming into it a little bit later than me. It's like, what?
Well, yeah.
Even when you do, if you look up online famous birthdays, they'll have 25 influencers in them. I don't know who this little kid from you know, YouTube is or whatever.
Okay. I mean, this is a guy just had his hip replaced. I'm an old guy. I don't know anything about influencers. But what does it mean to you out there to hear that? Are your children, what do you want to be when you grow up, son? I want to be an influencer. I mean, you know, we wanted to be a major league broadcaster. You wanted to be a major league baseball player. What do you want? I want to be the best three-point shooter in the history of the game. I want to be a quarterback in the NFL. I want to do this. I want to do that. What do you want? I want to be an influencer. Well, how do you go about it? What's the curriculum for it? Does it all mean, everybody? Let's take a break. 541-497-5356 on the Joe Beaver Show.
Welcome back to the Joe Beaver Show with Mike Parker. Is there supposed to be another guy, too? He sure doesn't say much.
Ah, the old position of that other guy. Mike even dropped that on Colin. That other guy. The sidekick.
Well,
I don't know.
He goes to him all the time, and I should know the name, and he brings him in constantly, Colin does, about stuff.
I think he played basketball somewhere.
Including LaMelo Ball with his incredible Instagram following. I'm sorry. Not having an Instagram account leaves me just out of the world. I know.
See, now this is the difference between you and me. We're both old.
I'm much older, though. I am.
7 years. You're my older brother's age. And since you're within that range.
You can relate.
I can relate. Because if you were outside of the brother age, then you become more like a cousin. The only thing is that, and you've been this way since I've known you. You refuse to go along with society on things. Remember when we were talking about strawberries in reference to the BlackBerry phone?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was already up on it. Now, I'm only slightly ahead of you, but I do have Instagram. I do have all the accounts, and I know how they work.
Good
point. And I like to use them because a lot of news comes across
those feeds.
I know,
and you can stay connected with loved ones and family members.
Yeah, I use them more for connectivity on sports.
Really?
And news.
Instagram.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's where I like it. Well, not so much Instagram, but Twitter for news, because people will, you know, self-promote, you know, catch it on my article here. And then you go and it links it to the article.
Right.
I love all of that. I check the Twitter every morning to make sure there isn't anything breaking. There have been stories I've seen break on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to get that story out there.
Let's get to Dan, who was on hold for a while, and we lost him somewhere somehow. Dan is back on the Downward Dog phone line. Dan, good afternoon.
Afternoon, guys. Say, I can't help you on any read the social media stuff. I'm fairly active on Facebook and on some forums and stuff, but at 72, I've got both of you guys beat. So,
yes, you do.
Nothing on the influencing, okay? I did want to address, though, what John was lamenting earlier in the show about the Beavers not getting their due as far as national recognition or being talked about. And I think it's probably like any Beaver fan, that irritates us. We just feel they have what they have coming to them. They've earned it, you know, and so not to hear them spoken about is frustrating. However, I will take the position that I would rather see that occur than have a whole ton of hype about them and constantly being pumped up to the point of not only are our expectations maybe greater than they would have been otherwise, but theirs might be too. And then, you know, the competition out there is just more alert and ready.
Sure.
I like the stealth mode better. when it comes right down to
one
or the other option.
2014, okay. Right?
So, it's a good point.
Yeah,
very good
exactly,
point.
Exactly. Yeah. You bet. Have a good one,
thanks,
guys.
Dan. Thanks, Dan. Good to hear from you.
No, he's right. Yeah. He's right. It's, it is.
No, I prefer it. And if they want to find a chip on the shoulder, if that moves you and motivates you, even with the 8 seed, you could still, you got the 8 seed, but nobody talked about you. They don't think you can do this thing, whatever.
Well,
you can find motivation anyway.
Yeah, and even if the team doesn't get it, use it as motivation, but they just do what they do. Let's just say they don't hear anything, good or bad. They do what they do. Now, as a fan base, you go, well, okay, there isn't a lot of hype here. There should be, not for look what we did and how many wins we had. No, I'm on the other side of it. I'm like, hey, some of those wins weren't great, but.
And some of the losses were gut-wrenching.
Yes.
Yeah.
But given the situation that they were thrust into, not by their own accord, forced into relegation, forced into creating a schedule on their own where you had to come up with teams that weren't playing their games. You had to go with bye weeks, all of that to get an RPI level schedule that, quite frankly, that has kept them alive
all year.
And
Aaron Fitt made that point last week.
Yeah. We talked with Aaron. There were some losses that I fully expected to look at the RPI the next day and see it plummet. And they never did.
Right.
They never did.
No, I mean, even the miserable 4-game stretch, I thought might kind of hamstring the season. Like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
No.
It's a little bit like in 2000, losing to Washington in football, getting to the rankings for the first time and who knows when. And I remember thinking, well, that didn't last long. Get to 4-0, beat SC 31-21, and you're 4-0 and you're in the rankings.
Yeah.
And you lose at Washington. Hell, it was fun to be in the rankings for a while for the first time since 68 or whatever.
Right.
And they moved up a couple of spots.
Yeah.
That's a little bit, I think, at times how we felt this year, expecting a plummeting. Expecting, if not a plummeting, but a significant drop-off.
And it never
happened. It did not occur.
After Nebraska series, after Oregon series, right. Like, whoa, what is going on
right.
here? Meanwhile, Oregon, that everyone's talking about winning all these games and everything, they were in the 70s and then the 50s and the 40s. And they never had this giant leap. They had really good leaps, but they still haven't closed the gap. It's like, 17 to 6 on RPI? So that one was an interesting one. Okay, Amy says, having a lot of followers can be huge money. Brands pay big money. I guess they do.
Right.
So if some idiot is out there standing on a ledge going, I'm going to stand on this ledge, follow me.
I get that
because I do a lot of news stories where some influencers literally have died because of doing stupid things.
Okay. Well, I guess Amy too. I get that the more followers, the more chance to monetize. But what is the conclusion of the connection between Colin concluding based on LaMelo Ball having a lot of Instagram followers? In a sense, that's an argument. Hey, the NBA is fine. LaMelo Ball has more followers on Instagram than any player in the NFL. How does that make him fine?
I think that's not a good statement by him.
Okay.
That should have been challenged by Colin.
Well,
or anybody
it was
else.
Colin saying that, yeah, he
should have been like, well, now we can't measure the success of the league.
I'm just wondering how that measures, how it relates.
Yeah, right. Someone should say we can't really measure unless you can. And
maybe
there is an argument to make.
I don't know.
I don't know. Here's one. It says, hi, fellas. Niles from Bell Fountain. Niles is a good listener. I was able to take my 3-year-old son to see the scrimmage on Sunday. What a perfect setting for his first baseball experience. General admission landed us right behind home plate with the freedom he needed to get to move around and ask questions. I suspect the hot dog and frozen lemonade may have won him over slightly, more than the action on the field. Understandable. But we had a great time, and on the way back to the car came the statement from him that still has me smiling. Dad, I think I need to get a mitt so I can catch that ball.
Sweet.
The weekend was a great idea from those that planned it. Glad it sounds like you're healing well, Mike. Keep it up.
That is a wonderful text and a sweet image and moment.
Yeah.
Dad, I need a glove. I want to catch one of those balls. There was, and I don't know which team it was. I will say, the people that Oregon State, they did have a shot, and the Beavers were in their new hitting facility when Oregon State was revealed as the 8 seed, and there was kind of a pleasant smattering of applause, but it wasn't this exuberant jumping up and down, hugging high-five thing.
Yeah.
I think there was an expectation, and the Beavers carried themselves that way, so it wasn't overly jubilant and that's as it should be. But there was one scene, and you know the director who's ever running that show, let's show that one again. Show that. There was one team that was announced, and there was a kid. There was a young man with a baseball cap on, almost the first person you'd see in the camera, with the biggest smile ever in life on his face, and clapping and smiling with players next to him. Whoever that team was, that was a beautiful image. And that's what the day is all about.
I almost want to say, I saw that same kid.
Over
and
over.
I thought of you when you were a kid, me when I was a kid. I thought of that rare kid that when they're younger, they're really into sports and they're really into it. And this kid probably was a coach's son. And
could be
the front row.
It was beautiful.
It was great.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, yes, go back to, we're going to run a montage of images. Yeah. Oregon State never came up again in those images.
No.
Well, because Oregon State's reaction was somewhat, you know, a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But you showed the teams that were dancing and jumping around, and that kid was a beautiful image, and they showed him over and over, and they should have. It was good television.
Yeah, they showed Stetson over and over because they were 14 and 19 or something like that, having won their tournament, so they shouldn't be there, but they are, and that's what it's all about. Someone else writes in and says, there's thousands of people wanting online attention, and if you get enough followers, you can actually get enough commercial support and make a living. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Some people make lots of money.
That's why it is a job. What are you? I'm an influencer. And they're making a lot more money than I've ever seen and other people will ever see, and that's fine. It's a new profession in the world, though, isn't it? An influencer. What are you? I'm an influencer. You know, unlike poor Tim Johnson, who was finally caught out, and Jim Wilson with him. What are you? I'm a manager. Wait, who are you? I'm Tim Johnson. What are you? I'm a liar. Years before he was finally caught out of being one for lying about his military record. And he lost his job as a result. But Jimmy, playing winter ball for him, saw that act years before in a bar in Mexico with a sidekick doing this little almost ventriloquism act.
Speaking of acts, we only have 1 minute from right now. I looked at Tim Corbin. The first thing I said was, oh, I bet he's fun at a party. Man, some of these coaches are a bit stoic. And
there's truth in what you say.
It's like, how do you get a kid to want to play for him?
Good coach and a good program.
Really good coach. And his numbers are incredible. Incredible numbers.
But what you say, I hear.
Yes.
We head down the stretch for today. Sidney tomorrow with an update on Bridger Holmes and others in the minor leagues. They're climbing the ladder in the Beavers, in the professional ranks, former Beavers in the minor league system. She'll join us. She had a great call today. We'll also be hearing from Alan Thayer. Sarah Elcano later in the week is their news coming. I haven't read Canzano today. We'll kind of break that down. He's always got something, and he had a Monday mailbag yesterday, even on the holiday. We'll talk more about that and hope to visit with you again tomorrow on The Joe Beaver Show.